was the theme of the next segment here on the Up North podcast by Paramore. And our guest is the queen of Told You So for many, very good reasons. And we'll get to her in just a moment. But first, again, I want to welcome you back to the cabin. This is the Up North podcast. I'm Pat Kreitlow, along with Sarah Yacoub and Kirk Bangstad. We had to cut off our last guest because of the hard commercial break. So I just wanted to let you know again that Barry Eidlin, and his name is spelled E-I-D-L-I-N, Barry Eidlin is an assistant professor of sociology at McGill University in Montreal, and he authors the book Labor and the Class Idea in the United States and Canada by Cambridge University Press. And we definitely have to have him back on to talk about making sure workers are treated more fairly in Wisconsin and elsewhere. But the thing I got most out of that segment, Barry said a lot of things, but what I really learned was that Kirk Bangstad is 44 years old. Talk about the phrase ridden hard and put away wet.
Oh, no!
Watch the video version of this podcast at upfrontpodcast.com. Don't start now after what you just heard about him.
That's the worst. You spent an entire commercial break like thinking of how you could dig me
came to mind right away. It wasn't that tough. So Sarah gets the pleasure of introducing our very special guest.
On that very happy note, it's a pleasure to welcome Patty Schachner to the program. Patty has worn a lot of hats in service to our neighbors. She's the medical examiner for St. Croix County, former state legislator. She served on her local town board and on local school board. Patty is one of the very earliest trustworthy voices that warned us that coronavirus was coming, that it's serious, and that safeguards would help. Instead, she was defeated for re-election for state senate. Her father died of COVID a few weeks later, and she had to watch people close to her leave their local school board due to the reaction over those basic safeguards. Despite all of that, Patty remains a good presence for good health and good politics. Patty, you are the epitome of good government, and we miss you as our state senator. Thank you for joining us.
We missed you!
Well, thank you so much. It's such an honor just to be asked to be part of this conversation. I just have to tell you, when it comes to public health and mass casualty incidents, this is something that people in my business train for and plan for that nobody knows about it. We have a plan that in our office for a pandemic. We've been working on it for years. By statute, it has to be renewed every year. We work on it with our local ambulances, our local hospitals. We train on it. We've been doing this kind of stuff for years. So when it actually happened, we were ready. And the thing we weren't ready for was people not to listen to us. Every county has emergency government, and within every emergency government is a pandemic plan. They're there. We plan for these. So, it was a little frustrating, but now as we're coming, we're over a year into this, I take off that hat and go into my public school education nursing nurse's office hat. And we have, when I was a healthcare provider at our high school, we took in immunization records every year. And every year at the beginning of the year, by statute, we had to meet a criteria on what was the acceptable number of students that were vaccinated, and that there helped you in your trajectory in planning when influenza came in, when strep throat came in, when the swine flu came in, all these here. People in public health have been planning for this for years, and as long as history. But I think this was the first time that the public didn't listen.
Well, that's because you planned for science, you planned for facts. Nobody planned for Donald Trump and all the conspiracy theorists that would come in and blow up the best laid plans. Hey, look, we don't want to dwell too much in the awful reaction to the COVID outbreak and all the lives it's cost, but we can at least say that a very public recall effort failed on Tuesday against school board members in Mequon-Thiensville in the Milwaukee suburbs. It was a very expensive campaign. It attracted gubernatorial candidate Rebecca Clefish and all kinds of right-wing groups and money. And so, Patty, does that give you any hope that we might be turning the corner on preventing another spike of cases, especially pediatric cases involving kids?
Well, I think it proves that people don't listen to Radical Barbie. Governor candidate Rebecca Clefish, and that she really isn't backed up with facts and science. And when parents actually got the right information, they came to the ballot box and they said, "We're making safety a priority," and they listened. And I think it's inspiring. Everything that's going on all over, to see a community that really had a lot of money invested for an alternative for facts to matter, it's inspiring.
So not only did Mequon have a recall, but there were 16, I read today, and all 16 basically were defeated. Mequon was just the highest profile one because all the money was there and you had beautiful anti-vaxxers on TV all the time. Basically, I was like, this is, I don't know. I'm not going to go there. But I'm like, this is weird because it's a very like telegenic thing happening here. But all across the state, this didn't happen. And so what that told me was like, this is a very vocal and obnoxious minority. And parents have not gone off the deep end. We have a select few people who have been told to go off the deep end to advance a strategy to gain power in certain areas of Wisconsin so that they can take over in 2022. But this is not what the typical Wisconsinite believes in. They want to take care of their kids. They want to protect their kids. You know, it's like it's obvious, you know, other than the fact that we're getting this screaming and yelling and craziness, but it's obvious to anybody that's just like a homespun person that this makes no sense. What do you think, Patty?
Well, it's one of those things. Just because you're yelling doesn't mean I can't hear you. I don't agree with you. You don't have to yell at me to tell me that you think I'm stupid. But that doesn't mean I'm stupid, you know, and I'm not. I was raised to be a lady, so I'm not going to tell you you're stupid. I'm just going to nod. And yes, I'm probably going to say, isn't that lovely? And all the people who are close to me know what that really means. But I'm a lady. And, you know, you just kind of leave it like that. And I think there are a lot of Wisconsinites that are like that, I'm just not going to argue with you on this. I don't agree, but you just keep yelling. You do you, and I'm going to do me. And when we all get to the ballot box, we'll see how it turns out. And we saw how it turns out in Wisconsin.
So awesome. This reminds me a lot of the parallels with critical race theory. So, and I'm hearing what you're saying, and I agree, and I think it's a great approach. But when you have people who either don't understand what it is or are banking on the fact that no one else knows what it is, and they exploit that, if the voice for good and truth stays silent, those narratives just sort of saturate the public. And, you know, what do we do to sort of combat this fear-driven narrative? We just saw it in Virginia. They lost the governor's office over nonsense.
Over a non-theory. And I mean, you've talked to thousands of voters, Patty, over the years. Is that the kind of politics we're going to see here next year, do you think? And if so, because you talk to voters directly, what do you think has to be said to voters if the GOP is going to run such a phony yet effective campaign tactic?
Well, I think we have to have better conversations and smarter conversations. I saw a video on TikTok, and you have to kind of keep up with what's going on with the public. And right now, TikTok's where it's at. And someone, I can't remember who the guy is, but he asked a voter about critical race theory, and he just asked him, what is it? And the guy's like, well, I don't know what it is, but it's bad. And I think that the truth is, we have to ask our community members when we're having these conversations, well, what is it? What classroom was it taught in? Who was the teacher that taught it? And when they find out that they don't have that evidence, then it's like, the follow-up question should always be, do you want factual history taught to your children? And it's like, so you know that we all know that critical race theory is not taught in any high school in this state. And River Falls just did a policy saying it's not going to be taught to appease folks. But the real question here is, what the Republicans are trying to do is undermine all public education.
Right.
So we don't have a lot of choices here in rural Wisconsin. So when they say they want to, get rid of public education, they want to get rid of it for your kids. So we have to have a real conversation about, okay, here's the facts. You want to be involved with your students and your kids' education, then tell me where it's being taught. And if you can't say that, then why are you having this conversation? Because you're going to lose your child's public education, which is what you count on, especially in rural Wisconsin. Yeah. And we have to change the narrative with facts and then good conversation.
You're absolutely right. I agree with you wholeheartedly. What I think, though, is how they have been effective. So I want to go one step before that. Like, in some dark room somewhere, somebody came up with this idea to just create critical race theory.
It wasn't even in a dark room. It was out in the open. The guy that started this whole thing admitted to it. He admitted it's a fake thing, but it still worked.
But everybody bought into that because it's like the biggest boogeyman, that you just create this crazy thing. You know, a lot of people that, haven't, been to college or haven't been to graduate school, think a lot of those people are a little hoity-toity, a little snobby. Like, they're like, oh, these people want to, it's a perfect, like, dialogue if somebody hasn't been to grad school to say, these people want to indoctrinate your kids. And so it's a great boogeyman. And what I think is the Democratic Party and progressives have, when they heard about it, we went immediately on defense. And said, well, A, none of us knew what it was, and now we have to figure out what it is, and now we have to argue why it's not a bad thing. And like, they're always on offense. We're reasonable, and we were on defense. I think we should turn this tables. Like, let's go on offense on a crazy thing that they're talking about and hammer away at that, because that's the only way to like make the house of cards fall down. Because if we're always on defense, always trying to be rational, it there's a sense that like we're always on our heels. And I think that's what happened with critical race theory. Is like, we're like, oh, well, okay, well, it's not that bad because it's not that bad, but
it's just the lack of wanting to take on the difficult conversation, whether it was about voting rights, then it was civil rights, then it was busing, then it was, welfare queens. This is the same old stuff, simply repackaged, this time as a way to whitewash history. But it's in that same vein, Patty, and that is a tough row to hoe in rural Wisconsin.
So here's what makes me laugh when we have these conversations. Because we all know that critical race theory is a graduate level class. Most of the Republican legislators have graduate level degrees. Most of the people who vote for them do not. The only difference is they go back into the public, put on a flannel shirt, put on a pair of old jeans, poopy boots, and then say, I'm one of you. At the same time, they're telling you, your kids need to go to trade school while their kids are going to college and getting advanced degrees. And they are counting on middle America to say, we're going to listen to you. And we literally do what they say. And they just keep on practicing a whole different hypocritical thing.
Part of the reason for that, though, Patty, is that they don't have to really face voters when you've gerrymandered the maps. And we've got just enough time for me to squeeze in this last question. And it's about, now that you have Governor Evers in the governor's office rather than Scott Walker, you have a pretty good chance that the courts will end up drawing the maps and that they will not be nearly as rigged. So the quick question for you is this. If a set of fair maps were drawn for Wisconsin, do you see districts along the western edge of the state as becoming more competitive as more and more suburban women want nothing to do with what the Republican Party has become under Trump and all the other conspiracy theorists? Or does the GOP have a stranglehold on your part of the state no matter where they put the lines?
I think it will always be complicated, but it's changing, and it's changing a little bit at a time. But we have to really, when you look at, we're such a dynamic group. St. Croix County, if you just take St. Croix County, from Hudson to Glenwood City, two totally different communities, but yet both communities have the same problems, they only look different. So we really have to start looking at how we are talking to people, and are they really getting what we want? And I think all my kids are grown. I think the Democrats should have a sign up everywhere that says, you like your child tax credit? Democrats did that to you. Because when that money starts going away, they're going to be looking at a whole different kind of hurt.
Well, thank you, Patty. It is such a pleasure to have you, and you'll have to join us again soon.
Anytime.
Oh, we would love that, Patty. Thank you so much. All right, we'll take our final break.
Thank you.
And coming up after the break, the Right Reverend Kirk Bangsted on the current Republican platform and the OG platform is found in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. You're up north.